purport. As the Brahmanas are recognized for their particular qualification of inclination towards the transcendental knowledge of Vedic wisdom, so also the Kshatriyas are recognized by the power to protect society from the disturbing elements of thieves and miscreants. The word Anuvrata is significant. A person who follows the Kshatriya principles by protecting society from thieves and miscreants is called a Kshatriya, not one who is simply born a Kshatriya. The conception of the caste system is always based on quality and not on the qualification of birth. Birth is an extraneous consideration. It is not the main feature of the orders and divisions. In Bhagavad Gita 18:41-44, the qualifications of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are specifically mentioned, and it is understood that all such qualifications are needed before one can be designated as belonging to a particular group. Om Jnanati Manandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tatati Shapadantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I'd like to say it's a pleasure to be here after a long time of not being here. Pleasure for me, perhaps an austerity for others, but in any case, it's wonderful to be here. There are only actually, as far as I counted, 14 places that are presently under the care of ISKCON, where Srila Prabhupada actually visited in the world. So we must hold on to these places dearly as places of sanctified pilgrimage, not just only the deities and the devotees, but Srila Prabhupada, dust from his lotus feet, still purifying this wonderful yatra. Pardon? Yes, yes, yeah. I just I wanted to, memory gets shorter in Kali Yuga, so I don't want to forget with some points that I saw here. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that anubrataha is a very important principle. Not only with Kshatriyas, but it's also mentioned in the previous verse, the same thing, that nothing is determined by birth. Of course, in ancient times, when people took the trouble, or society was designed in such a way that people would there were thoroughbreds, so to speak, by astronomical calculation, the proper Kshatriya man and woman would be combined, and that kind of, just like we do with, well, modern society with horses, cows, dogs, mostly those three. They find the right one to combine with the other. You get more milk, more protection, faster horse, and so or a stronger horse. And so the same thing was done previously. Therefore, it became almost customary that if somebody was born of a Kshatriya family, they would almost certainly be a Kshatriya, or somebody was born of a Brahmin family. It wasn't. Actually, that was a big concern when Parikshit Maharaj was born, because they understood this principle. So they said, even though he has the highest parentage, there was a big concern. They were asking the Brahmins, what are his qualities? What are his qualifications? It wasn't just automatic. And then they said, they asked, is he a Mahabhagavat? He said, no. He's a Mahabhagavata Mahan. He's a Mahabhagavata. No. And they were very relieved that the tradition will go on. No. The society will be protected. No. So the Anubrataha is very important nowadays, because we just see Srila Prabhupada. No. He had three sons. Only one of them became a practicing devotee. I mean, who could have a better father? And one became a practicing devotee. I mean, they were all devotees of some kind. You know. Even Mathura, after he sued ISKCON, you know, he said, I'm just getting my part. I know it all belongs to my father. I'm just getting my part. You know. So he got something. He actually... His case was that BBT was my father's business, and I'm his son, therefore I should, you know, inherit the business. And it was quite a court case. But anyway, so this Anubrataha, which actually means literally that following... having the determination or the qualities to follow. You know. So this is the main thing, and Srila Prabhupada speaks about it quite a bit in his beginning of his purport. You know. And it says the idea of birth, especially in Kali Yuga, is extraneous. You know. It's not useful. And then he cites Bhagavad Gita where this is discussed. You know. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Bishan. It's interesting, for Vaishyas, Krishna uses the word Bishan, which means someone who produces. But it actually comes from the same root as Visha, which means poison. No. So, the Vaishyas, they have a tendency to be poisoned by greed, you know, and therefore that word is sometimes used to describe them. And therefore, the Kshatriyas have to discipline the Vaishyas. Just like one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, you would think it was mostly the quality of a Vaishya, is dhanam. You know. They're charitable, because they are actually, they have to tax the Vaishyas. In Vedic society, if you really calculate it, only 1/4 of the society made money, and only 1/4 of the society, 1/2 of the society managed money. But generally, the women would not work, so therefore it was 1/8 of the society worked. And then if you figure some of them took vanaprastha, at any given time, you had like, you know, maybe 1/12 of society producing money. And therefore, the society was based on spiritual principles. And now society is based on making money. Srila Prabhupada says that now modern society is governed by Vaishyas and Shudras, when it's supposed to be governed by Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And when you look at the qualities of each one, some of those qualities are derived in the next segment of society. Just like all the qualities of Brahmanas, and especially the quality of Arjavam, not so much Shantyu. You won't find so much tolerance in Kshatriyas, except tolerance of pain. You know, they're very tolerant of pain, which allows them to be Kshatriyas, which was why Jarasandha could understand, when Bhima was bitten by this big insect, he just, he understood. I mean, he already suspected, with bowstring marks on their arms and big, huge bodies, these are not Brahmins. No. But they're dressed as Brahmins. But then when he saw that, he said, no, these are Kshatriyas. No, they've come to fight. And it was all revealed that, yes, we've come to fight. And so, but even somebody like Jarasandha, he obeyed Vedic principles. Even Hiranyakashipu, he preached Vedic principles and the principles of detachment and birth and death to the grieving family members of Hiranyaksha. So the Vedic principles were there. Even Yudhishthira said, let Duryodhana, he follows Vedic principles. But he doesn't follow Vaishnava principles. None of them followed Vaishnava principles. Therefore, they had to be defeated. Because Vedic principles allow for certain things that Vaishnava principles protect us from. So, and then, anyway, I'll read a little more of the purport, but I just wanted to make that point that a Kshatriya, to be a proper Kshatriya, he has to be a Raja Rishi. So he has to have some brahminical qualities have to be there. Just like in advancing in Krishna consciousness, Sadhu Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, etc. It's not like, I have some faith, then I get association, then I get my initiation, then I go through the process of anartha nirvritti. It's like a rainbow, gradually, even when someone gets to the point of nishta, there still is the process of anartha vritti is going on to some degree. Even in rati, it's going on to some degree. And even in bhava, there may be some traces of some negative elements. Only in prema bhakti, everything. Then prema, then you're free from all those things. So, in the same way, especially in Kali Yuga, no one is a pure Brahmin, no one is a pure Kshatriya. No. But the qualities are there. Srila Prabhupada said, even in our external society, the qualities are there. And it's interesting how Krishna describes the Shudra, that is Paricharya Atmanam. Paricharya Atmakam. So he's Paricharya, which means his behavior is to serve all of the others. Pari, all of the others are served by his duty. That's his duty, karma. And so, but even Shudras, even Vaishyas, they had some brahminical qualities. I mean, they had a few brahminical qualities. Generally, they were, especially those who were Goraksha, like Nanda Maharaj, he had Ishwara Bhava from the Kshatriyas. No. And he had a certain degree of self-control, Shamo Dhamma, Shaucha. So it's not that it only pertained to one group or another. But one group, the Brahmins, have these qualities to the greatest degree. So anyway, interesting that Srila Prabhupada brings that up. And so I will read on in the purport. Lord Vishnu is always mentioned as the Purusha in all Vedic literatures. Sometimes the living beings are also mentioned as Purushas, although they are essentially Purusha Shakti, Para Shakti, or Para Prakriti, the superior energy of the Purusha. Illusion by the external potency of the Purusha, the Lord. The living entities falsely think themselves as Purusha, although they actually have no qualifications. The Lord has the power to protect. Of the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, the first has the power to create, the second has the power to protect, and the third has the power to destroy. The word Purusha is significant in this verse because the Kshatriyas are expected to represent the Purusha, Lord, in giving protection to the Prajas, or all those who were born in the land and water. I'm going to stop here for a moment. Many points are here. So even though sometimes we have the designation of Purusha and Prakriti, externally speaking, the male is Purusha. So that means a male is not supposed to exploit, he's supposed to protect. That the duty of the male, nowadays males think their duty is to exploit, and therefore you have this strange tendency of everyone or many people, especially the women, acting contrary to their natural psychological nature, you know, because the men are not protecting. You know. And they have to protect, as Srila Prabhupada said so many times, the husband is supposed to be the guru and protect by spiritual principles. Then the wife will be inclined to act according to her psychological nature. But nowadays, practically no one, and even it's getting worse. I was just speaking to some teachers yesterday, how in public school, you can't say he or she, or if you say it improperly, it's like a big offense. You know? I'm sure that they would have a hard time with Prabhupada's books where he says he everywhere. You know? Even many of us have a hard time with that, but anyway, it's another subject. But so Purusha, you're supposed to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, everyone is supposed to represent Krishna, but especially the Kshatriyas. Just like when Sanatana Goswami, after Rupa Goswami had joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami, he said, what am I doing here with this Muslim, cruel Muslim leader that destroys temples? No. Actually, when Rupa and Sanatana were practically forced to enter into government service because the Nawab said, because they refused. The Nawab he needed some ministers from the Hindu society to maintain balance. And so he said, I want the most qualified persons. So the two most qualified were Rupa and Sanatana. He said, I want you to do government service. No. He said, if you don't, I will persecute the Hindus, you know, and especially the Brahmins. So they accepted. And then they built this little Gupta Vrindavan. You know, they made a whole replica of Vrindavan in there. And he wanted to know what that was. He said, oh, it's just so the Hindus come, they have, you know, it's like a cultural, but it was actually for their just maintaining their consciousness. So anyway, when Sanatana Goswami, he decided, I want to go. He asked permission. Nawab said, no, I've already lost one of my most valuable ministers. I can't lose, you can't go. So he decided, I have to go. So he just stopped doing his duty. And then the Nawab sent his minister, another minister, to find out what he, because he was supposed to be sick, but so many days passed, what disease does he have? And he went and he said, he's not sick. He's sitting with the Brahmins reading some scripture. So the Nawab came, and immediately Sanatana Goswami stood up and offered his, you know, offered reverence. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that because the Nawab receives the power to rule from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sanatana Goswami was worshipping that power. And in the 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the 11th canto and in different places in the Bhagavatam, when it speaks about the vibhuti shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it actually, Arjuna says that please explain things in terms of people who are who live under the dominion of matter, under the dominion of Prakriti, and so that they will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to some degree, at least theoretically. Just like for most of us, or at least some of us, or at least for me, you know, I can see, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, I can see that Krishna is everywhere, but I don't live with that consciousness. That consciousness is not constantly there. I see it theoretically, I can understand it theoretically, but to live in that consciousness and seeing Krishna everywhere, I mean, devotees do it to the greatest degree possible, but actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, better than to see Krishna personally is to see Krishna everywhere. That is the quality of an Uttamadhikari. Because all of us see Krishna here in the deity, every one of us, you know, every day, hopefully, you know, or at least your own deity or the deity in the temple. We see Krishna. We're seeing Krishna face to face. But then we don't see Krishna. You know. Usually, in many cases, maybe even the majority of cases, we take darshan, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or if you're in the kirtan, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and then that's it. You know, then I do what I'm supposed to do, or what I have to do, or what I want to do. You know. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Anavasara time, he suffered so much from separation to Jagannath, getting Jagannath darshan every day, that even before the deities could come out, he wanted to go see Lord Jagannath. And because Prataparudra had told the pujaris, whatever he wants, do it. So he requested to go in while the boga offering had just been made and the boga was still on the altar. And Lord Chaitanya went in with some of his intimate associates, and he simply meditated for a long time on just on the face of Lord Jagannath, just seeing his beauty. So that's when you see Krishna everywhere. You know? Just like when Bhagavan Acharya met this Bengali poet who wanted to offer a prayer. He had composed some poetry and he wanted to offer it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhagavan Acharya, he had to get the approval of Swarup Damodar. And so he went, and Swarup Damodar said, you're just a sentimental cowherd boy. No, you don't understand the otherwise cowherd boys, they don't understand the intimacies of higher rasas. So and then he explained about that rasa basa, but still he insisted, no, this is wonderful. And all that, finally Swarup Damodar accepted, okay, I'll hear him, because every day Bhagavan Acharya, this is such a wonderful poem. And then Swarup Damodar sat down with all the devotees. And as the poet began to speak, the devotees were overwhelmed. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentions afterwards, they were neophytes. You can imagine. These are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. by Yogamaya potency, they were acting as neophytes. And they were enamored by this, just like Nimai Pandit, when he was asked the Digvijaya Pandit to glorify Ganga, to make a poem, and he glorified Ganga. His friends, their jaws had dropped in awe of the poem that he had made. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just pointed out all the defects in the middle of the poem. So anyway, so he was reciting, and on the first verse, the devotees were, wow, what a poem. They'd already heard it, but hearing it the second time, they were amazed. And immediately Swarupa Damodara said, stop. You have committed two great offenses. You say that the body of Lord Jagannath made of wood, as if he had a material body. And then you say that the soul of that body is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as if he were a jiva. Therefore, you have committed two grave offenses, and your destination is hellish. You will suffer for millions of births for this offense. And the Brahmin was totally devastated. So Swarupa Damodara saw he was devastated by his proper but devastating chastisement. He said, but if you associate with the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will learn how to express things properly. Just like Srila Prabhupada, one devotee, actually it was Panchadevita Swami. When he was a young devotee, first time he went to India, he brought his guitar, and he went to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, I made a song about Krishna. Can I play it for you? I said, yes. No, not so enthusiastic, but yes. And he told me this personally. He said, he was expecting Prabhupada to say, oh, yes. And so he played it. And he told me, I was thinking all the time, Prabhupada's going to say, what a wonderful song. You're doing so nicely. And he said, and he was just waiting for Prabhupada's response. And Prabhupada said, yes, it is a good sentiment. No. But if you want to learn how to glorify Krishna properly, then you must study the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur. No. So Jai Prabhupada. So, of course, many devotees had similar experiences with Srila Prabhupada, expecting him to react in a certain way. Just like here, I think it was here in the manor, maybe it was in New York. I can't remember now. But one devotee had just memorized Bhagavad Gita, and so he said, I'm going to tell Prabhupada that I memorized Bhagavad Gita. So he went to Prabhupada's servant, who was at the door, said, I want to speak with Srila Prabhupada. Well, he said, no one can come right now. No, I just memorized Bhagavad Gita. Please, I want to see Srila Prabhupada. So the servant went in and said, Prabhupada, so-and-so has just memorized, he wants to see you, and this is the reason. He said, you can tell him that I'm very busy. And then he left, and Prabhupada told his servant, he said, he is proud, Therefore, he may have memorized it, he has not understood it, You memorize it, okay, but you don't understand it. So this power and everything, and then in his vibhuti manifestation, especially in Bhagavad Gita, he explains how that vibhuti is not only in the kshatriyas, but in every manifestation of power, of beauty, of strength, of anything, is coming from Krishna. And this is, although it's speaking about Krishna manifested through the material elements, because, Krishna is everywhere. And we see things in terms of those elements. Just like everything we see in the Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charita, any Shastra, everything is being compared to something that has that we can identify with in this world. Because otherwise, how will we understand it? How can we possibly understand it if the point of reference is something that's beyond our perception? So everything, there's all the similes, all the metaphors, even in the highest Shastras, are based on something that we can perceive in this world. Otherwise, how will we understand? If it's explained, just like sometimes in the Bhagavatam, there's a reference to a certain type of bird or a certain type of flower that's not available at this point in time. And we wonder what that is. Type of bird that there's not there. So sometimes Prabhupada will give a little description of some of their the bird's qualities, or the flower's quality. So just like we don't see lotuses like the ones described in the Bhagavatam, we don't see these huge lotuses, bright blue lotuses and golden lotuses. They're there, but they don't exist right now on this planet. And so we don't see them. But generally speaking, everything in the Bhagavatam we can identify, and then we can understand. Our consciousness can gradually ascend to the point where we simply accept what the Bhagavatam is telling us without questioning, beyond our logic, beyond our perception. And that's what adokshaja means. Therefore, bhakti yoga adokshaja. That bhakti yoga is adokshaja, aja aksha. That it is beyond the perception, otherwise beyond the eyes, beyond what we can perceive. Ada aksha, beyond anything that's within our capability. And that's the type of bhakti we have to perform. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This is the type of bhakti. Not bhakti on the basis of material considerations or material qualities. It has to be based on serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that mood of understanding that Krishna is beyond everything. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj asked him, why is it that the followers of Lord Shiva are very wealthy? And generally speaking, not all cases, but the devotees of Krishna are not as wealthy, which is why in India most people prefer Shiva to Krishna. Krishna takes away and Shiva gives. In any case, so Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Shiva, because his logic was, Shiva is a renunciant, but all of his followers are wealthy. And Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune, but they don't have so much fortune. I mean, big kings, Even the Pandavas, before the Battle of Kurukshetra, they had to go out. They didn't have a big enough army. They didn't have enough money to conduct the war. They had to go out and make allies and look for wealth. War cost, even in those days, war cost money. Now it's a big business, but in those days it was, So Shukadeva Goswami said, well, Lord Shiva is in charge of the 16 lingas of this world. Anything with a material nature he can give. But Krishna is Prakriti Paramapurusha. Krishna is beyond Prakriti. And he wants his devotees to be beyond Prakriti. And therefore sometimes we perceive that he's giving us a hard time. He makes us struggle, because that struggle will bring us to the point of surrender. So, just to finish the purport. And also I just wanted to mention, he says, just see the responsibility of Kshatriyas. protecting the living entities in the land and the water. No. So, you know, I see all these people fishing, you know, and they're not protecting the entities in water. So everyone has to be protected. Protection is therefore meant for both man and animals. The Prabhupada always mentions that. Animals also. In modern society, the prajas are not protected from the hands of thieves and miscreants, because the protectors are thieves and miscreants, the supposed protectors. In the modern democratic state, which has no kshatriyas, is a government of vaishyas and shudras, not of brahmanas and kshatriyas as formerly. Maharaj Parikshit and his grandson, Maharaj Yudhishthira and his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, were typical kshatriya kings, for they gave protection to all men and animals. When the personification of Kali attempted to kill a cow, Maharaj Parikshit at once prepared himself to kill the miscreant, and the personification of Kali was banished from his kingdom. This is the sign of Purusha, or representative of Lord Vishnu. According to Vedic civilization, a qualified Kshatriya monarch is given the respect of the Lord because he represents the Lord by giving protection to the prajas. Modern elected presidents cannot even give protection from theft cases, and therefore one has to take protection from an insurance company. The problems of modern human society are due to lack of qualified Brahmins and Kshatriyas and the over-influence of Vaishyas and Shudras by so-called general franchise. So very quickly, speaking about insurance companies, you know, now, if you don't have insurance, you practically die. Whenever you have a big health problem, if you don't have insurance, you're finished. You know, or you go to a general hospital and who knows what will happen there. You know. So, how was the insurance? The Kshatriyas gave insurance from thieves and rascals and rogues. You know. Just like in Mexico, the police always drive around with their lights on. Always. And I asked one police chief, so to speak, why do you do that? And he said, I think the real reason is, so the only thing we do is stop people and take bribes. So if there's a real thief or a real danger, then they'll know to hide. No. Otherwise, I won't have to deal with it. No. So I said, not real Kshatriyas. But insurance, like we have some insurance for health, in Vedic society, people didn't travel all over the world. You didn't have one family member in England, one in the US, one in India, no. And therefore, you know, in the village, your health and your security and your welfare and your psychological well-being all was protected by the family unit. No. So important that everyone was protected by the family units that were existing. So this is a very, very important aspect of society. Nowadays, people, especially psychologically, people are disturbed, so disturbed everywhere, you know, because they don't have this protection, which is there automatically in a civilization. Even in countries I've seen where, you know, the family unit is still very, very strong, and people live in villages, I don't see people with any psychological problems. It mostly happens with people in so-called civilized countries and people that live in big cities, like London, or any big city. So just the lifestyle that has evolved in Kali Yuga is so unhealthy. and the whole society we have is so unhealthy. So these are some thoughts on these particular verses. A few minutes left. Any question or comment?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, right at the beginning you mentioned the 14 places that Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada put his lotus feet.
Yeah.
So in relation to the deities that Srila Prabhupada personally installed, is there some special, do you think there should be some special arrangement for those deities, that they are housed nicely and protected for future, given a special consideration for their temples, etc.?
Well, it should be. I hope so. Just like in my area of responsibility in Venezuela, Prabhupada went there, but you know, we, most places in Latin America, we don't even have our own temples. Only in a few countries. Most of them are still rented. Even in many countries, they've been renting for the last 50 years, you know, and because they don't have the money to buy a temple. But at least in Venezuela, we have the original deities that were there when Prabhupada was there, Paramakaruna Gornitai. And actually, when Prabhupada chanted Paramakaruna to those deities, he went into ecstasy. You know, for like 5 minutes, tears were coming from his eyes. He couldn't speak. So those deities are very special. So I thought, somehow or another, I have to get a permanent temple for these deities. So by Krishna's grace, we were able to purchase a property, taking advantage of a revolution and great devaluation. And I just ran around all over the place trying to collect some money, and we were able to buy it because it was worth the price was about one-tenth of what it was really worth because of the devaluation, and that the new socialist government had just come in, and so they weren't so quick as far as reestablishing the economy. So somehow or another, I guess Krishna's arrangement too. So yes, because there are places where we may have the deities, but they're not in the original place. And I would consider that the same, so to speak. You know, it's still a place of pilgrimage. These deities were installed, or if not installed, worshipped by Srila Prabhupada. So yes, very good point. You've inspired me to find out where all those deities are. That may not be in a place like that.
I can tell you one that needs the most help is Paris.
Yes. Paris. Yes. Yeah.
Radha Parasishvara.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure there's many, many cases. I will begin a study on that and find out where those special places of pilgrimage are. Anyone else?
Maybe you can ask the manager to turn the heating up as well.
Anyway, thank you all very much. Your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Thai Gaur Panand. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.